Oregon Sustainability Institute for work on a number of really innovative things. The RFI is out right now for the eco districts, and that's very exciting. So thank you for your ongoing work. Sir.
I'm Dave Northfield from Kaiser Permanente, Mayor Adams, Commissioners. Good to see you all again. If we want people to be physically active, if we want to increase physical activity, we need to make it easy for them to be physically active. Bike sharing does that. Kaiser Permanente has been a big supporter of building healthy communities throughout our city and throughout our region through our support of the community health initiatives, healthy eating, active living efforts. And I think you see it through our support of Sunday Parkways, which has been hugely successful. Upwards of 30,000 people have shown up on Sundays. People are hungry in this city for innovative, safe, creative ways to be physically active and ways that are fun. And I think this is perfect for the city of Portland. Kaiser Permanente supports bike sharing.
Thank you. And gives me a chance to laud Kaiser and your work on the Sunday Parkways. It's every year I think it's as big as it can get, and then it just gets even bigger. So thank you.
Southeast Portland, end of the month.
Yep.
And we'll make our way to Southwest somehow. Kate, I expect to see you out on a bike. All right, thank you all.
One more person, yep. Grace Bailey.
Who?
Grace Bailey. She
Grace Bailey.
Was on the wrong list.
Ms. Bailey, hi. Welcome.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Grace Bailey, and I'm here today to support the East Portland Active Transportation to Access program. And I would like to thank Commissioner Fritz for the Engage program that got me started to involve with the city business. And this is my first quote-unquote appearance here. And I'm a property owner, a rental property owner in Northeast Portland. And Portland has a higher concentration of minority and low-income population, as you know. And I also think that the public transportation is a very important element in people's lives. And it makes me sad to hear in the news that the bicyclists or pedestrians get killed just because they are riding bikes and crossing a street. So I think the programs that Mayor Adams advocated for the safety process, that was very important. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and it's great to have you here.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right. Ready to move to a vote? Carla, please call the vote. And before we do that, just so that folks at home know, the most dangerous street in the city of Portland is the corner of North Northeast Marine Drive, starts in North Rosa Parks Way and ends in 185th. We had 556 crashes and 16 fatalities. So please be careful on North and Northeast Marine Drive.
Saltzman?
Well, I'm pleased to support these applications for flexible funds. I think there's important freight investments. There's important investments in safety in East Portland, particularly in Division and I forgot what the other street was, but Holgate and Foster. Yes, and Foster. So I think these are all critical public investments in getting people around safer on bike and pedestrian. I do support the bike share, but only with the caveat that probably will come as no surprise to anybody, given my earlier line of questioning. I will be expecting in the RFP a statement that there will be no public operational subsidies and that the expectation is that it will be entirely privately operated, the operating costs entirely privately operated and privately provided by private sector employees. So I will not, unequivocally will not support any public operational subsidy, whether it's transportation revenues, general fund revenues. We just heard a very compelling presentation today about the crisis in community mental health. All things being equal, an investment in our community mental health system, to me, is far more important than an investment in bike sharing operational cost. And further, if the operating costs are not being covered, i.e. through fees or fares and sponsorships, then it tells me something is wrong with the program model and the business model. and we ought not to be doing it. So again, I will be looking for that in the RFP, and I will certainly not support an RFP that's ambiguous on that, and in awarding an RFP, I will be continuing to look for those same things. Other than that, I'm pleased to support this package and vote aye.
Leonard?
Well, I, too, support the application, but I'm particularly impressed with the bicycle sharing proposal in that it does bring private sector matches, and a point that hasn't been emphasized enough actually creates jobs, full-time jobs, part-time jobs, puts income in the pockets of people who most probably would otherwise be unemployed. So I'm less concerned about what this proposal may include as it comes back to us, and more impressed by the goals it seeks to achieve and the economic stimulus that it appears it will create. And I'm very impressed with it. I appreciate particularly Commissioner Fish's amendment. I always appreciate working with colleagues who might otherwise not support a proposal, but rather see an opportunity to advance their own agenda. That's a telltale sign of a successful politician. I appreciate his thoughtfulness in seeking an opportunity to not just support this, but to promote issues that he feels strongly about as well, which I will support in the future. Aye.
Fritz.
I strongly support the freight project and the division and foster improvements, and thank you for those who came to testify about those today. Thank you for those who participated in the process. I unfortunately cannot vote for this because, despite the amendment, which I supported to get Barbara and Sullivan's Gulch on the priority list, however, there is no new money. And if we had had $1.25 million before that we could have gotten from grants and the state, then I would have hoped we would have done that. Indeed, the mayor has gone after a lot of federal money that we have been able to do sidewalks and has been very innovative. And I certainly appreciate the fact that the mayor has directed $18 million to sidewalks, more than any other mayor probably has done in quite some time. As a reality check, though, 1 mile of sidewalks on a major arterial, a major transit street in southwest Portland on Capitol Highway between Barber and Multnomah costs $19 million and is not funded, and we don't know how we're going to fund it. So this proposal prioritizes $2 million for a bike-sharing program, which if it's a good idea, I don't understand why the private sector hasn't already done it. And second of all, prioritizes that for those who already have sidewalks and already have the basic safety improvements of crossings, et cetera, downtown, rather than putting that $2 million into additional sidewalks or crosswalks or lighting or other basic services in our neighborhoods. We have so many needs in our neighborhoods, and it makes me a little very uncomfortable to hear about increasing active transportation options for those who already have them when I can't get off the bus a stop earlier than the one I would otherwise take because there is no sidewalk to get me safely along Barber Boulevard in order to walk to a little bit further and get some exercise. So there's a lot to like in this proposal, but there's a lot that particular $2 million, we have hundreds of millions of dollars worth of sidewalks and crossings that are needed on major transit streets in Portland. And if we don't start plugging away at them every single opportunity that we have, we're not going to have them funded in my lifetime. And I'm sorry that we're not being able to do that because this is the first time that the council has had such a definitive role in being able to allocate this flexible funding. And so for those reasons, unfortunately, I can't support this. No.
Fish.
Well, in a perfect world, we would have significantly more regional flexible funds to allocate because as this process has revealed, the demand greatly outstrips the supply. And regrettably, reading the newspaper recently, it appears that there are some in Washington who would like to take a meat cleaver to our federal funds across the board, which is going to make it harder for us to fund any of our most compelling needs. But we don't operate in a perfect world, and my amendment was designed to signal that we would make at least a substantial down payment on two projects, which I think warranted, if the funds had been available, full funding. And that's the Sullivan's Gulch Trail and the Barber Boulevard streetscape. This is a compromise. Certainly, some will argue that we should be allocating more. And I would not quarrel with them.
but we're trying to get a balanced package. And I think this is the product of discussion and compromise, and it moves the ball. And what I think should not be obscured is that there is no dispute, we've had no controversy in the community about how we're spending the 25% piece. And on the 75% piece that we fought for at Metro, and thank goodness we have the luxury of allocating 75% of these funds, because that may not have happened. By my math, in expanding the pie through the amendments, we are now allocating 75% of these dollars outside of the downtown corridor. In any way you look at it, that's a pretty good split in and of itself, although I think there are compelling needs and claims on our dollars in the neighborhoods throughout our community, and we have to be vigilant in finding creative ways to fund those compelling needs. So with the amendments, I am pleased to support this resolution, and I thank everyone who spent time educating me about this matter. Aye.
Adams.
Well, I want to thank the City Council for their support, Commissioner Fish for his amendment. I'd like to call out a big thanks to Dan and Steve and Mark and April and Paul and Denver and Catherine Charlo. And I'm sure there are others, but this is not the Academy Awards. So just for all others, thanks, especially the citizens who have weighed in. I continue to be inspired by, folks in every neighborhood, but the folks in Southwest and the folks in East Portland just do a fantastic job of fact-based, accountable advocacy and partnershiping. I appreciate that. The in terms of the bike share program, which was controversial, it's important that folks understand that these things generally start in the most densest part and around universities. And with their success, they have the ability to then, in concentric circles or even satellite, move further out. In our particular case, and maybe this isn't true for other cities, we also have a significant level of concentration of low-income folks. A map we passed out up here, significantly above the citywide average based on 2010, and being able to provide them opportunities to expand their mobility and expand their access and to make transit, that last mile after transit, even more helpful, I look forward to. I also look forward to looking at the opportunities, for example, on the Yellow Line, the Killingsworth stop, and Portland Community College, which is a good 15-minute walk or 3-minute bike ride, to look for opportunities between Hillsdale and Multnomah. Once you get up there, it's a great place, and it would be nice to have some more mobility up there. And there are other places around the city that we will look to experiment and learn outside the central city with the bike share. So I appreciate the effort, the discussion, and I'm pleased to vote aye. Thank you. We have two quick things. I know you got to go.
Mayor, would you humor me and entertain a motion to reopen the record and of the vote in agenda number 885 so I can cast my vote?
The motion's been recognized. Is there a second? Second. Carla, would you please call the vote on reopening the vote for item number 885?
I did.
I seconded.
Second, you did.
Put it.
Commissioner Leonard.
I'll second it.
I'm just going to cast it off.
Okay.
Thank you.
I don't know how he's going to vote first.
Yeah, really. She's got to dig it out again.
Okay. What was yours?
Saltzman.
Oh, aye.
We have to vote on whether we want
to. Should we consider?
Okay.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Motion approved. All right. Can you please call the vote for second reading? Did you read the title?
No.
Read the title. Call the vote for second reading. 885.
Well, we don't want to inadvertently exclude Commissioner Fritz. Maybe we could just add.
I'm just adding.
Allowing him to. Is he allowed to just add?
Yes.
He can just add his vote. That's what the motion was.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So, Commissioner Fish votes aye. Thank you.
Let the record show Commissioner Fritz votes.
Fish.
Votes aye. All right, close that. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance item number 886? And we need to be quick on these.
Okay.
How are you doing, Mr. Longy?
Authorization to amend contract with Tri-State Construction, Inc. for landslide mitigation on Southwest Sam Jackson, Jackson Park Road to include additional emergency landslide mitigation work on nearby Southwest Broadway.
So we have an emergency. This was before council earlier. We've learned more. We need an adjustment. Mr. Olongi, what is the nature of the adjustment?
Thank you, Mayor Adams and council members. David Olongi, City of Portland Bureau of Transportation. I was here a few weeks ago regarding the landslide at Sam Jackson Park Road, which we have almost completed, and I'm going to give you a quick summary of how we've progressed on that. But we're also taking upon this opportunity to fix another landslide that has not yet happened, but will very soon. So it's another landslide mitigation that's very, very close to Sam Jackson, and it's actually on Broadway Drive. It's been a very wet winter, and we're paying the cost for that now.
Commissioner Leonard is floored.
We're actually planning ahead and avoiding a catastrophe.
Yes, the city that works.
It's outrageous.
Ahead.
Absolutely outrageous. City that works.
So move very quickly if you would, sir.
Thank you. So this is Sam Jackson. This was the before shot. You can see the crack running through the street that we're mitigating, and we've already started. This is the hole we started digging on Sam Jackson, and this is how deep we got. 250 feet long by almost 40 feet deep on Sam Jackson. And then we started importing the fill material, which we used from Sunderland Yard, recycled concrete crushed by our own city forces. It was a blessing for them to get rid of all this material that they've been stockpiling, and they gave it to us really cheap because they wanted to collaborate, and we were happy to accept it, of course. And this is where this photograph was taken 2 days ago. We've completely filled the hole, and we're now placing reinforcing to pour the concrete pavement. We're not using asphalt, we're using concrete to make sure it never happens again, ever. And this is a side view showing the wall that's actually holding up all the ground on Sam Jackson. Most of the wall is actually buried in the ground that you can't see because we've backfilled against it. So the project on Sam Jackson is on schedule. It will be completed by Labor Day, God willing. And it's on budget. And we have spent a fortune minimizing disruption to the Markham Hill facilities. So nobody is being excessively disrupted going to visit the Markham Hill facilities because of this project. But we want to jump from that project to the next one, which is very close by. It's a Broadway Drive. And so soon as we finish the Sam Jackson, almost the next day, we want the contractor to start on Broadway Drive. An earth movement occurred there a year ago in December 2010. And the city did carry out repairs, but the earth continued to move. If you notice in the photograph, you can see two cones. One of those cones is a foot below the pavement. You see that? Mm-hmm. That cone should be actually at the pavement elevation. That's how much the shoulder sunk, almost overnight, 1 foot. So there's deep-seated movement occurring below the pavement, and it's bulging out below the stone wall that's holding up the road. This is a shot of that stone wall. Much like when you tighten your belt and your tummy squeezes out, it's very similar here. When the road settles, it squeezes out underneath the wall and there's a bulge in the ground below the wall. So we had a geotechnical report, which we received very recently, which reported that if we don't fix the wall and the roadway this winter, most likely it will fail, assuming we get a reasonably wet winter, which is not unusual. So again, we're being proactive in trying to solve it before it occurs. The area in question is bubbled here in red on Broadway Drive. It's a very densely populated residential area, mostly used by residences, homeowners. And the slide is located right in front of a number of properties. And I've been contacting all those property owners to let them know that we have a brief period of pain and suffering coming, but we're here to help them as best we can, and we will. We will build temporary access to their driveways if we need to make sure they can get to their homes.
How much do you need?
The slide detour is huge. In fact, oddly enough, it's very ironic. Part of the detour was Sam Jackson Park Road. So we couldn't have started this anyway until we finished Sam Jackson Park Road because it's part of the detour route. We think the cost is about $250,000 to $400,000. It's cheaper than Sam Jackson because it's pretty much half the size. We have some material left over from Sam Jackson, so we can reuse some of the baskets that we purchased because we will be using the same contractor.
When is All Hallows Eve?
What's that? What's All Hallows Eve?
All Hallows Eve.
Thank you for noticing that piece of humor. That's Halloween.
Halloween.
Oh. Yeah.
Come on, you guys.
One has to have humor at work.
The Irish definition?
No, that's the old American...
All Hallows Eve.
So we hope to finish by the end of October because that's when the rain's coming, so we have to.
So you got
to
move fast.
Yes.
That's why it's an emergency.
No, the same contractor that we're using, they've exceeded by 50% the MWESB quote on their project. So they're a really very good contractor to work with. And although he's not required to, the superintendent does get three bids on every single subcontractor to make sure not only do we get MWESB, but we get the cheapest one too.
Okay. Questions from council? We have an emergency opportunity. Hearing no questions from council, is there anyone that wishes to testify on this matter? All right. Carla, can you please call the vote?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. So approved. Can you please read the title for emergency, our
Thank
last
you.
Item? Thank you to our last emergency ordinance, 887.
We saw the 882 that was pulled from consent.
Okay, great.
887, execute a labor agreement with Laborers Local 483 for terms and conditions of employment of represented employees in the seasonal maintenance worker bargaining unit.
And I think every council office has been briefed on this. Commissioner Fish, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No, Mayor.
Do you have any questions from our good staff here? All right, can you anyone wish to testify on 887? Carla, can you please call the vote on 887?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Thanks for your good work. Can you please read the title on Emergency Ordinance 882? This is our last item.
Authorize a competitive invitation to bid for storage area network hardware, software, and services.
Hi. What are we looking at here?
Hello. I'm Paul Rothy with the Bureau of Technology Services, here to speak to this. This item was mistakenly put on the consent agenda. Thank you for moving it to the regular agenda so we can have discussion. City relies extensively on a Hitachi Storage Area Network, or SAN, that centrally and reliably houses about 90% of the city's electronic data. This includes such critical systems as SAP, Kayanta, police data systems, and many others. Operational risk increases as service contracts cannot be renewed and parts become scarce for hardware reaching end of its service life later this year. The city's electronic data storage needs continue to grow, and with the collection of increasing number of data points, large technology upgrade projects, and including automation of previously manual and paper-based systems, such as what's being happening in BDS. With that, BTS and Procurement Services have prepared an invitation to bid seeking competitive pricing for Hitachi SAN hardware, software, and services. This issue will come back to Council at a future date for approval of an award to the lowest responsive bidder. And with that, I would entertain any questions you might have.
Questions? Does anyone wish to testify on Emergency Ordinance 882? Carla, can you please call the roll on the Emergency Ordinance?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye.
Did we do 890?
Yeah.
We did 890.
Thank you. Good work, Commissioner. I appreciate it.
Good work advancing your own agenda.
Okay. Yeah. Well, as a politician, you know.
As a politician.